Rolling. So we had an oopsie. We had an oopsie, dear listener, didn't we, Ben?
We did.
Possibly our best episode in a while. We were really happy with it. And then there was a tech issue that meant we couldn't use the audio. And so we find ourselves in the bizarre position of having to recapture glory. But I think we can do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. And if we don't, we'll still,
yeah.
It's a weekly show. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
The good thing about a weekly show mm-hmm. is it can only be a bad episode for 7 days.
Yeah, you say that and then it's on the internet forever. The thing that bothers me is we can only have a bad episode for 7 days, but if we have a great episode, that's a lifetime.
Yeah.
Except for our great episode on this film is lost forever. It's mint. Yeah. I feel great. I feel incredible. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
My name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast where we ask the important questions like, have you ever fired two guns whilst jumping through the air, Ben?
No.
Ever been involved in a high-speed pursuit?
No.
Okay, that surprises me, actually. Have you ever fired a gun while in a high-speed pursuit?
No.
Okay, now here's one. Mm-hmm. Remember what film we're covering this week? Have you ever fired your gun up in the air and gone, ah?
I have, yeah. Laser tag.
Yes.
Laser tag.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, 2018 laser tag champion. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Out. I was army rolling. They were like, you're going to break it. spoiler, I broke it. You know what I mean? This is the censored version of the show, guys. Swears will be bleeped out, but fear not, dear listeners. As always, the full uncensored version is available early on our Patreon for as little as a quid.
Sometimes early.
It ain't this week because it's sometimes gone. Because it's gone. Mint. Gone.
But we start as a little as a pound, and the link to that is below wherever you clicked play.
It is. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm fine. Cool. I was a grumpy, wumpy boy yesterday. Because I had my whole week planned out. I knew what I was doing when. And I'd made it. So I was like, mint, I've got two evenings to devote to the edit. Mm-hmm. I can get something that we want to get done for Patreon done as well. Mm-hmm. And then I can enjoy my weekend. Maybe even do a bit of packing.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I can do none of that.
Yeah.
Sick. But besides that, I'm still excited, man. I'm moving up to Telford soon.
You are.
These tech issues are going to be a thing of the past because we'll be in the same room.
To be honest, the tech issues, right? It's not tech issues. It's me having no impulse control and downloading every shitty B movie that I find on dodgy sites. They're just sort of
let's not talk about it, Ben. It's tech issues, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
How about you, man? How you doing?
Yeah, mint, mate. Yeah, mint. Couldn't be happier right now. I was having the best, best day that I have had in years yesterday. Mm. Nothing could go wrong. Everything I touched was turning to gold.
Yeah.
We had a sold out screening at the cinema and everyone there was a legend. Everyone was walking in. All right, mate, how you doing? Yeah, not too bad, mate. Do you want a coffee? No, I'll have a beer. Oh, yes, you will. Because that's a simple little pour, isn't it? There you go, mate. Time saver 101. Go enjoy Led Zeppelin movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was banging. Everyone was old rockers. They were talking about music. It was great. Vibing. Got in touch with some old friends. Bumped into some different old friends. This was all crazy. And then,
what you did is you had such a good day that you caught the attention of Poseidon, and Poseidon went, absolutely not.
Fair. He's like, I'm the god of wet, and you, sir, are the opposite.
Exactly.
We are nemesis.
Yeah.
I am here to smite you, and did it spectacularly.
Anything bad happens, I'd blame Poseidon, generally. What are we doing today, Ben? Oh, no, wait, you asked me that.
I do ask you that in our last episode that was mint. What are we doing today, buddy?
Today, buddy, we are doing the one thing that you would never do with Patrick Swayze, and we are wrapping it up.
Never.
That's right. We're on part three of our Crazy Swayze trilogy with 1991's perfect blockbuster.
Perfect.
Point Break.
We are answering all of the hard questions, bud. Is this whole theory complete nonsense and a total waste of everyone's time?
Why does Point Break work where so many late 80s, early 90s movies fall flat?
How did Ridley Scott nearly ruin our perfect action movie? And most importantly, is Bodhi in fact, James Dalton from Roadhouse, who is, in fact, Johnny Castle from Dirty Dancing. And I'm here to argue, buddy. Maybe. No, but it's fun.
This is your theory. And in episode 3, you're still like, maybe.
I've spent
it's 2 weeks considering
yeah.
for 3 hours of everyone else's time.
I've over-egged the custard, and now it's just wet egg. So I need to dial it back a bit. Where's my toast? Where's my French toast in the frying pan? There you go.
Mm.
Get it a little crispy. Flip it over, golden brown. Go f*** yourself. It is real.
Texture like sun.
This is the plan for the episode.
Like sun.
See?
Nice. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, I have seen this movie recently.
You have?
Because you'd hope so. Listening to a podcast with us talking about it.
Yeah.
But not everyone has. Not everyone has. Some people might need a refresher on what happens in this movie.
All right.
Some people might need us to tell them exactly what happens in this film right up until the final scene, so they know what we're talking about later. What are we going to do for those people?
I think what we're going to do, mate, is I'm going to rapidly run out of time in the prep for this one, hurriedly throw together a half-assed breakdown of the entire film that is the most mundane,
right.
straightforward, put-together breakdown you have ever heard in your entire life, dear listener.
Mm.
And you're going to get a full recap, square in the ear holes, right in the lug holes. You're going to be like, oh, I've just listened to the entirety of Point Break.
Shall I read it?
This one's for you, babe. This
right,
one's for
okay.
you.
Right, so Johnny Utah, played by Keanu Reeves, or as I like to call him, Keanu Riz, because come on.
Yeah.
Is a determined rookie FBI agent assigned to work with veteran agent Angelo Pappas.
Yeah.
The pair are investigating a string of daring bank robberies carried out by a gang known as the ex-presidents.
Yeah.
Who wear masks of former US presidents during their crimes.
Mm.
Pappas theorizes that the criminals are surfers, prompting Utah to go undercover in the local surfing scene.
Yeah, buddy.
While learning to surf, Utah befriends the tough and independent Tyler, who introduces him to Bodie, played, of course, by Patrick Swayze, a charismatic, philosophical surfer with a tight-knit group of friends.
Tight.
Utah becomes drawn to Bodie's magnetic personality, thrill-seeking lifestyle, and perfect hair.
Yes, buddy.
Slowly building a bond with the group.
Do you know what my favorite thing about you reading the breakdowns is? I get to be that guy in hip hop that's like, yeah!
Yeah, you get to be my hype.
You know
man.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like the
You're the one
skit,
carrying the box of records.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Right?
I've been going gym. Let me lift. You know what I mean? Let me lift.
As Utah becomes more immersed in the surfing world, he starts to suspect that Bodie and his crew are the ex-presidents.
What?
Dun, dun, dun. His suspicions are confirmed when he follows them during a robbery,
what?
Leading to an intense foot chase where Utah nearly captures Bodie, but lets him go out of hesitation and loyalty.
Damn!
Yeah, that's better. Could you throw in a few more like skirts?
Yeah. And skirt, skirt.
Yeah, brilliant.
Damn! I'm getting
it's skirt, skirt, not squirt, squirt. I need you to be very clear about that. You said squirt, squirt.
Are we doing hip hop or are we doing Pokemon?
Well, exactly. Hip hop. No squirt, squirt. This is not the hub.
What's even the point?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's already worse.
Yeah.
Tensions rise as Utah's cover is blown and Bodie reveals he knows Utah as an FBI agent.
Oh no.
In a calculated move, Bodie kidnaps Tyler and forces Utah to participate in a high-stakes skydiving jump, solidifying their twisted bond of trust and danger.
Yeah.
Bodie's philosophy of living life on the edge becomes clearer, showing he's not just a criminal,
mm-hmm.
he's driven by a desire to break free from societal norms and embrace risk at all costs.
Hell yeah, buddy.
The climax unfolds as Bodie plans one final dangerous heist. The robbery goes wrong, resulting in the death of several crew members and Pappas.
The more you say Pappas, the less I like it.
I keep making it worse every time.
This is the second time we've done this episode, and every time you say it, it kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit.
You mentioned that briefly in the good version of this episode, and I...
Don't call it the good version, call it the lost version. Jesus
the
Christ.
The lost version, all right.
Yeah,
the brilliant, perfect version. You don't need confidence. Bodie escapes, but is later tracked down by Utah at Bell's Beach in Australia, where a legendary storm is about to create massive, deadly waves, a surf challenge Bodie had always dreamed of. Rather than arrest him immediately, Utah allows Bodie to paddle out into the raging surf, knowing it's effectively a death sentence.
Yeah, buddy.
As Bodie disappears into the waves, Utah walks away, symbolically discarding his FBI badge, a sign that he's disillusioned with the system and has been changed by his experiences.
Legend.
The film ends with Yutar embracing a more introspective and liberated outlook on life.
Yeah, it does. But does...
Do you know how annoyed I am?
Go on.
That I got to the end of that film mm-hmm. where he's throwing away the FBI badge.
Yeah.
And it's made quite a lot of in this film that Johnny Yutar is a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then I started looking at Keanu Reeves' filmography and saw The Devil's Advocate and went, maybe, maybe. And then I remembered he's got a really thick Southern accent. Well, he's got an attempt at a really thick Southern accent in that film. And I went, nah.
Hey, man, people can pick up accents just like they can change the name and their entire personality from dancer to ninja, throat ripper to... surfer, you know what I mean?
I mean, I was happy that this is the first time in this theory that this is a film I had seen before.
Good.
This was a staple of my childhood. We had a couple of Catherine Bigelow films on VHS. We had Blue Steel.
Nice.
A film about which I can remember nothing, except it's got nothing. Clancy Brown in it, who is the prison guard in Shawshank Redemption, the tall fella.
He is. You're forgetting his most important film. But continue.
The drill sergeant in Starship Troopers.
Thank you very much. Yes, he is.
The Kurgan in Highlander, which I would possibly say is his. It's the most Keno of his catalogue.
I'd agree.
You're right. It's thank you. There.
Yeah.
And voices Mr. Krabs in SpongeBob.
The second most worthy title. You know what I mean?
So we had Blue Steel and we had this. They were the two Catherine Bigelow. I think they might have even been on the same like box set of VHS.
I'm pretty sure I've got Blue Steel but on VHS, but I've never watched it. It's never been out of the case. I think it's on my shelf right now.
It's your Halloween lady that you like.
Yeah. No. I know the film. I've never seen it.
Never watched it.
No, I think I have it. I've just never seen it.
This was a bit of a template for me, I think, this film. I think... as I was watching it, I saw Tyler and I was like, oh, that's...
there we go.
That's why I like those kind of ladies.
That's it, yeah.
And then I saw Bodhi and his complete lack of sexual envy towards Tyler. I was like, oh, that's something that I respect.
Sure.
I think that's peak how to be a person.
Okay.
Just like, hey, we had a thing, but you've got a thing now and that's fine.
Okay.
I don't own anyone, you know, you're not land rights, you're just a person.
Sure.
And then there's a scene where she's tied to a chair and I'm like, oh, that's where that's from.
Yeah, that's where that's from.
Yeah.
That is it. See, I watch this film and I'm like, God, his hair. That's where the mullet comes from.
This is your hair template.
Honestly, like the minute my mullet is called Dalton.
Nice.
But it's slowly becoming a Bodhi. You know what I mean?
If you just poured like a couple kilos of salt in your bath and then washed your hair and then let it air dry,
you could get there. Yeah.
You could get that kind of matted straw effect.
I need the back to grow out a bit, but I did sort of impulse buy bleach blonde hair dye not too long ago. Yeah.
I never guess what we're doing my first week in Telford.
Yeah, 100%.
Bleaching your eyebrows.
Bro, I'm down. Eyebrows and hair. I want the bleach blonde mullet on the go, you know what I mean?
That'd be incredible. That'd be incredible. You look like an F1 driver.
Yeah, I want people, when I walk down the street, I want the people of Telford to go, that man's just come from the sea. Also, might fuck his cousin. You know what
I mean?
Wow. That's the sort of vibe I want my mullet to give off to the world.
I see. I thought Telford was a definitely fuck his cousin kind of town.
That's Broseley.
Oh, okay. Good. I've not been missold by the agent. I did ask specifically.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is this a fuck your cousin kind of town? And they were like, yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah,
I was like,
100%.
Sold.
Yeah,
give
me
the contract.
Yeah, let me sign.
Right. I think what's best now is if you go through a recap of the theory where we are in the film so far.
Sure.
And I will remind the listeners the narrative of our show so far.
Okay. Do you want me to give you a little break between sort of where each film ends and begins? I'll give you a little breathing room.
And I can just let them know where we were up to on our level of convincing.
Well, I'm sold all the way through. So you can just keep us up to date with how you've gone from non-believer to 100% this is a truth fact believer.
Yes, yeah. You're incredibly convincing evidence.
Yeah. Johnny Castle, a charming and trustworthy guy with a rough side who knows how to fight, gets disillusioned with the wealthy and the upper classes at Kellerman's. Instead of chasing a college degree straight away like everyone else, he travels the country, wanting to help people, practicing spirituality, learning philosophy...
ooh.
Evolving his fighting skills.
Right, so that's Dirty Dancing, and we covered that, and I said utter nonsense.
Yeah.
Absolute nonsense. I'm not helped by the fact I'd not seen Roadhouse, so it was all tentative.
Mm.
I'm sure this will all line up at some point, bud, but I have no idea where we are with this.
Okay. Well, lucky for you, we get into Roadhouse, where he becomes one of the best bouncers in the US, but realizes his life has gone down a rough path that he doesn't want to continue down. He doesn't like who he's become because he became a straight up cold-blooded murderer.
Yeah,
a
serial killer.
Throat ripping.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's responsible for 6 deaths in Roadhouse. I watched it again last night because I was sad. And right. I counted the deaths. There are 6. So he moves to California and develops a new philosophy on life.
Right. So during the Roadhouse episode, you brought some incredibly compelling... you didn't bring compelling evidence.
Yeah.
You guilt tripped me with the fact that these are your childhood superheroes.
Yeah,
and you want them to all be the same person because these were people that you were trauma bonded to. And that if I shat on your theory, it would be like shitting on child Ben.
Yeah, you'd be punching my childhood trauma in the face.
Right. So at that point, I had to wholeheartedly agree. Even though the evidence is still utter nonsense, I am 1,000% on your side.
Okay.
And we are fighting this case.
I'm not going to lie. I honestly thought you'd go the other way on that. I thought that would make you a further non-believer because you were like, oh, I see now.
No. Despite yourself, I do love you.
After the rich people of Kellerman's from Dirty Dancing and Brad Wesley from Roadhouse, our Bodie, our Dalton, our Johnny Castle, now grown up into surfer, legend, bank robber, knows 2 things.
Mm-hmm.
He never wants to work for the man again. And 2, steal from the rich. So he starts robbing banks. He starts chasing the waves and living the endless summer.
There's more in this one.
Right.
To recommend your 3-parter.
It feels
like Dirty Dancing and Roadhouse are very loosely, they're very tightly linked for the first 20 minutes.
They are.
And then it's nearly impossible to put them together. But then Point Break almost categorically makes them canon.
Right.
That they are the same person.
Do you see what I mean? This theory is like, it's not airtight.
No.
But it's got duct tape in the right places if you want to risk walking that bridge, right?
But the fact that Johnny Castle becomes a sort of Russell Brand life guru.
Russell Brand?
Yeah, like a kind of toxic male crystal witch. Like if Bodie was a woman, he'd have dyed green hair and he'd try and sell you a jade egg.
Oh, 1,000%. You'd be having a panic attack in a shopping center because of the amount of people, and they'd be like, do you need a crystal?
Right, exactly.
To focus your
energy. Can I offer you some homeopathic remedy? Can I offer you a jade egg in this trying time?
Do you know what I mean? That's exactly
right,
what it is.
Yeah, but
hold on. You implying that he's going a bit incel with it. I don't think that he's going incel with it.
No. Russell Brand wasn't going incel with it because he was getting laid all the time by manipulating people into believing that he was something that he wasn't, which is exactly what Bodie does.
Okay.
And I feel like if Russell Brand had access to a surfboard and had lived in California, this would probably be what he'd be, but without the bank robberies. So just a piece of shit.
Yeah, he wouldn't be robbing banks. He'd be robbing sperm banks. He'd be living in sperm banks.
Yeah.
Impregnating America, right?
Exactly that.
Trying to secure his legacy
like Elon.
Jesus Christ, could you imagine? It's just made my skin crawl. That was weird. I've got a bunch of new evidence. I'm going to start it off with 2 very sort of like superficial little nods
that
are in the film. And whether they're like little nods to previous Swayze movies as like a fun little thing, like, oh, it's Swayze type stuff. Or whether it's how I like to view it, which is cementing universe building and lore.
Yeah.
That they are the same person, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So you've got the one bit at the very beginning. Well, not the very beginning, but when Johnny Utah starts surfing, Bodie comes over, looks at Utah's surfboard, and is like, ah, reminds me of a 57 Chevy I used to have.
Yes.
Which is obviously the car that
Johnny Castle used to drive. That's a link.
That is a link.
That's a deliberate now. See? I would argue it's a Swayze egg. And by Swayze egg, we mean just a little Easter egg.
A little nod.
I think the cinematic connected universe was a ways away, you know?
A Swayze away.
It was a Swayze away.
Yeah.
Swayze away sounds like some sort of pest control product.
Sounds like a cheap supermarket.
Sways Away, yes, 100%. Sways Away,
you know what I mean? Like a quick save.
Patrick Swayze opens a chain of Piggly Wiggly style,
yeah.
You know, supermarkets.
Yeah, 100%.
Sways Away.
Yeah, we sell lemonade. It's just in these tiny little Woolworths cans that are a literal gulp. How much?
Right.
£1.50. Do you know what I mean?
We sell cheese, but all the packaging's in German.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love those. Every corner shop around here, you're going to see this soon, bud. These like weird chicken balls of like anonymous grey matter.
Are we talking Polski Sklep?
Oh, is that their black packaging with the German stuff all over it?
No, Polski Sklep is Polish shop.
Oh,
and
no,
when
no,
I
no.
lived in London, what I loved about Polski Sklep is everyone was called Polish shop or Polski Sklep.
Sure.
And you'd go in there and everything would be about a tenth of what you'd expect to pay anywhere else.
Yeah.
You've just never seen that brand before.
Dude, this
and
is
it. It was varieties of what I would call like meat pastes formed into shapes.
Yes, this is exactly it. Dude, I'm going to take you on a tour of the weirdest stuff that you can buy in the weirdest places. It's the most mundane tour of Telford you can imagine.
Nice.
We're going on it. It's going to be great. The next little bit of evidence that I have is when Utah is talking to Papas.
Papas.
I'm into it now. I'm kind of into
it. You see, right? Yeah, you started out hating it and now you're kind of into it. That's how kinks form.
No, it's fun to say, but like to hear it from
oh,
your
mouth.
You
said it and I my teeth were on fire.
Yeah,
but
outrageous.
Saying it, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, it's odd. It's an odd one. So when Utah is talking to Papas and they're coming up with a plan and Utah's like, I'm going to follow him to Bodie's Roadhouse. And it's like, okay, I see what you're doing here. Yeah, because obviously Bodie was in Roadhouse just under a different alias.
I don't know, though, if that was in the script or if that's just Gary Busey doing Gary Busey stuff.
Maybe.
Just kissing it on the lips.
I think it's Keanu Reeves that says it, though. I think it's Busey's plan.
Right,
but
Busey's
plan. It's Reeves that says it, yeah.
Speaking of Busey, Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
He sounds like a member of Take That that didn't make it.
You know.
Gary Busey, you know the very famous clip of Gary Busey, Buttered Sausage?
Buttered Sausage, yeah.
Where he's like, I want to talk about Buttered Sausage. What is it? Why is it in my face?
Lost his mind on a podcast at some point.
Right. And he goes, Buttered Sausage is not your jam. And he's like, no, I don't eat jam. I like honey.
And a kiss on the lips. Yeah.
It's not real. It's not real.
What do you mean?
It's a podcaster called... Jeff Richards.
I was going to say, how'd you spell that?
It's a podcast called Jeff Richards, who does, admittedly, an incredible Gary Busey impersonation.
Off, is that an impersonation?
And then they deep faked over the top.
Oh, shut up. I hate
this.
So
if you watch the full episode, the Gary Busey thing never blinks.
Oh.
Now, if there's one man on the planet that I believe... could do a 45-minute interview and not blink once. It is Gary Busey.
This is what I'm saying. You're saying it's someone else and it's a deep fake, and then you're giving evidence that goes against it, and it's mental.
But there's also a few glitches where you see, like, you know, they scratch their face and it turns inside out, and kind of stuff.
I've just Googled it and it says Jeff Richards Show impersonator. That's upsetting.
What's upsetting about it is Gary Busey, not long after this film.
Yeah.
Did canonically have a motorbike accident which left him brain injured and went through a severe personality change that has him wandering the streets of Boston with a loaded gun at times.
I say fair play.
I say fair play to Gary Busey. What I wouldn't then do is do a deep fake of him where I might offend him.
Oh, yeah. The last thing you want to do... To a man that's comfortable roaming the streets of Boston with a loaded gun is take the piss out of him on the internet forever.
By stealing his face.
Can you imagine how panicked you'd be when that went viral? If I was Jeff Richard and I saw the numbers on that clip going viral, I'd be like, stop.
No. Wait,
man. This has gone too far. Every knock on my door, I'd be sort of like, shit, is that him?
Is it Boosie?
Is that Boosie?
Is that Boosie? I don't know why he's suddenly no longer American, Jeff Richards. But
he's a great impressionist. He does loads of impressions.
He's very good.
Should we get back to the new evidence?
Okay, yeah, sorry. It was so compelling that I felt the need to talk about literally anything else.
Yeah. Don't worry, buddy. I'm just as checked out as you. Right. So back into the new evidence.
Yeah.
Second time round. The brand new evidence that we're discussing for the first time ever.
Yeah.
The similar philosophy on life.
Right.
So this is from Dalton to Bodie, right? Because we've established that Johnny Castle is Dalton. So now mm-hmm. we're just focusing on Dalton's transition to Bodie. This is the point that we need to prove.
Right.
Both Dalton and Bodie live by their own personal codes, right? Dalton right. preaches this zen-like patience and discipline, mm-hmm. while Bodie is all about spiritual freedom and living on the edge. It's like the next evolution.
Yeah.
The next philosophical evolution of discipline and mastery moves into complete living on the edge and skydiving. I know how philosophy works. I am a studied man.
That's how philosophy... my sister's studying philosophy, and there's a whole module on skydiving.
I've never studied philosophy. I said I'm a studied man. I've been in many studies.
Oh,
you're a studied man.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
They
okay,
give you
yeah,
pills
yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
just leave you in a room for a week.
Not
you
know psychology. I mean?
I don't know. I think one was like dick pills. I don't know. Right, mine got okay. smaller. I read a study, and it literally kicked me in the face.
Right.
Sorry, this isn't evidence. It's just upsetting.
Right, okay.
I read this study, the higher the IQ,
right,
the smaller the penis size.
Okay.
There's like a correlation between IQ and penis size, right? So people with lower IQ tend to have larger penises.
Right.
Now, riddle me this.
Right.
How am I dyslexic as f- and uh-huh. struggle to string a sentence together without sounding like Sean Connery? And also, I'm hung like a fucking acorn. I don't understand who's responsible or who's in charge, but I need to speak to a manager.
I can solve this for you because I've got both a high IQ and an absolute machete.
Awesome hog.
So on average, yeah.
Oh, it's an average thing. It's like a it's one in two. Thing. Got you.
So
okay.
we cancel each other out. We're yeah, either yeah. end of the pivot. You
yeah, we're like
I mean?
A magnet, right?
Exactly. We're either end of the bell curve.
Awesome.
I'm incredibly smart.
Yeah.
And there aren't enough well-hung geniuses that are as humble as I am.
Yeah, to be fair. We're both the bell curve, but I am the bell end.
Yes, we're both on there the bell
we go.
End.
There we go. Right, so back to the evidence for the first time ever.
First time ever that we've never heard.
We've never discussed this. Right, you ready? So the extreme physical ability. Dalton, a martial mm-hmm. arts master. No.
This is the word you got stuck on last time, Ben.
Dude.
In the good episode.
Before doing this, I double-checked all of my tech. I've replaced all the wires. My cable management is on point. I mm-hmm. sat here for 4 minutes rehearsing how to say this word because last time I nearly had a stroke trying mm-hmm. to get this word out and I'm freaking out, buddy.
Okay. What's the word, Ben?
Effortlessly. Taking down opponents.
You got to see the irony, though.
Fuck off. Dalton is a martial arts master. Oh my God! Effortlessly taking down opponents while yes. Bodie. I wrote this, by the way. While Bodie is an elite surfer and an extreme sports enthusiast, both have near superhuman physical skills. Jesus yes. Christ, kill me now.
So, if you remember. Yeah, the first time that we did this,
good save.
Episode.
You nearly said good. I saw the shape of your mouth. I saw it.
I debated it, but yeah. I don't think you've got the strength for that joke anymore.
No, I will. I'm virgin. I'm on the edge of yeah. crying. Let's. Yeah.
So you'll remember in the lost version of the episode.
Thank you.
That I had a question at this point. And I feel like you owe the listener the answer to that question, which okay. is, canonically, we know that Johnny Castle was 25 in 1963.
Early 20s, between 20 and 25.
Right. They say 25, but you've decided
no.
that they might have been a bit wrong.
Listen, Rob, if I say on this podcast, you're 44, and no one corrects it, confirms nor denies it, and everyone just starts
it.
Going... Exactly,
I'm
see?
Denying it. I'm 36.
No one does that in Dirty Dancing. We're just living in assumptions.
Right, okay. Okay, fair. So he's early 20s.
There you go.
In 1963.
He is, yeah.
So in 1991.
I'm
doing maths, bear with me.
Just take away two. It's
okay.
It's just
in
two.
1991, we're saying he's in his early to mid-late 50s.
I'm doing math.
Not very good at them, all right?
No.
I got the words, I didn't get the numbers.
Is coming in handy right now because in my mind,
hey,
it is shrinking, buddy.
It was full mast on the right. on the good episode, all right?
All right. Fair.
So, but we're saying,
yeah.
It's rather you're saying, and again, I fully believe you.
Thank you.
I feel like the listener is owed your explanation as to how this 50-year-old man has mastered to a sensei level his third art form.
Yeah.
Because he started out as one of the best in the world dancers.
Yep.
Then he became one of the best in the world martial artists / serial killers.
Definitely the country.
Right. And he's now gone, do you know what? Seeing as I'm just a polymath, I'll just do surfing as well.
Yeah.
In my 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
So your explanation is he's just 50.
I mean, all right, Swayze himself is like mid to late 40s when he was filming this. I mean, look at him. He is.
I'm Googling this.
He's well into his 40s in this film, bud.
Patrick Swayze in Point Break. 39. Oh, man, there's hope.
You know what I mean?
I've got 3 years to end up looking like Patrick Swayze.
All right.
Well, I reckon
wasn't
I can
well
do
into
it.
His 40s. He was nearly well into his 40s.
He was in his late early 40s. Okay, yeah.
He was in his pre-40s.
Yeah, yeah.
His late pre-40s. He's built like a brick shit house. He's gorgeous. Dude.
Yeah.
His physique is insane. He could be like a 50-year-old dude in this.
Okay, fine. So is that... Okay, no, that actually does track because he... Are you saying that he knows that there's going to be a 50-year storm in Australia because he was alive for the first one?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right, okay.
Also, what I think I might be saying is that Patrick Swayze might be an immortal, timeless, sort of omnipotent...
He's a vampire.
...presence.
Ooh. Maybe this is Twilight. Is this Twilight? It would help the hashtags for engagement if this was Twilight, Ben.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, all right, yeah, the timeline's a bit squiffy. But, you know, time's just a state of mind, isn't it? Some shit like that. I don't know.
And then there are other holes in the theory, right? There are other reasons why the theory doesn't track. I'd like to hear those for the sake of balance before we... Because we're going to end this with this is categorically true.
I mean, it doesn't track. The timeline obviously doesn't track. And it's also like Dalton would be literally being hunted...
Right.
For six murders. Like he...
Five murders, sorry.
The one he got away with because he ripped the throat out of someone in self-defense and still got to walk away and carry his job as someone who...
I don't think you can rip someone's throat out in self-defense. I think you can shoot them in the leg in self-defense.
Or the foot. Aim for the foot.
There's lots of things you can do.
Yeah. Punch him in the throat. That would disable him. Have you ever been punched in the throat?
It's horrible. It's the worst.
Sucks.
Right.
It sucks.
You're immediately useless. You're like, well, that's my fight done.
Yeah, I can't breathe. So what's my next option? Die or die bloodied? Like, what's the... I would rather just sit down for a bit. Thank you.
So I don't think you can rip someone's throat out in self-defense. And also, given the way that Brad Wesley dies at the end of Roadhouse, I would... Whatever case they brought against Charles Manson, I would bring against James Dalton.
I was just about to have a go at you. I was like, he didn't shoot him. But he very well did orchestrate it all.
Charles Manson that situation.
Yeah, he did. Right. He did Charles Manson it. He bought that town. He bought the community together.
Look, both Patrick Swayze and Charles Manson released albums.
They did.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Holy shit. Okay. New
so
theory.
Yes, Dalton would be hunted and hounded, and
he'd be being hounded, man. He'd be on like FBI's most wanted list. There's a whole palaver of stuff that would happen. The fallout from Roadhouse would be immeasurable. There is no shot that he's leaving that tiny town. He brought the community together like only a councillor would, so he was immediately elected.
Yeah,
who else is going to run for it after that? Oh yeah, I'll run for it and then get shot by 11 locals.
I can really see James Dalton being fired by Elon Musk's Doge department.
I can't. Are you being serious, dude? How does he get anyone to have the balls to have that conversation with James Dalton? Are we being serious?
Especially not Elon.
There are some things that don't line up, and that's fine. I accept this. It's just a fun little thought experiment. It's very nice. It's very fun. We've got a couple little bits, though, that I think these two are my favorite things that tie the whole theory off for me. You ready?
Right. Okay.
So the mysterious...
Tie me off.
I'm going to tie you off, buddy. You just fucking sit tight. Mysterious pasts.
Yeah.
James Dalton just rocks up out of nowhere, climbs his way to the top, and everyone's like, yep, that seems fine. Mm-hmm. We never know anything about him, but he has this sort of like legendary reputation as a bouncer, right? But also a past that he's trying to escape.
Right.
You've got Bodie, weirdly mysterious background, no clue on who he is or where he came from. There's never a mention of anything. Not even his closest mates talk about anything to do with his past. It's always the here and now. And I get it. You're a bodhisattva. You're living in the now. You're here for this, right?
Mentor. Yeah.
Exactly. This is it. So I can get it. I do understand it. But the mysterious past thing does bother me because it's never picked up on by anyone and everyone just seems fine with it.
He's just always been that guy. He's always been there.
Exactly.
He's modern time savage.
This is what I mean. He's a real searcher. You know what I mean? And then we've got the reinvention. This is just more of like a fun little thought experiment where after the climax of Roadhouse where Brad Wesley's dead, Dalton's killed five people. He might have looked at the situation and gone, yeah, nah, I'm not.
This isn't working.
I'm not a big fan of this. You know what I mean?
Right.
I might quickly go for a dip in the grave of Jimmy Reno because I ripped his throat out and threw him in a river. I might go
swim with Dr. Elizabeth Clay.
I hate that you keep calling her a horsewoman. She is a gorgeous human and an incredible actor. She shall be respected.
Do you know that every time Roadhouse comes on television, Bill Murray calls her husband and describes what he's watching on screen?
What do you mean? Is that a real thing?
Bill Murray, the actor.
I know Bill Murray.
Right, yeah.
I did just think your mate down the pub, Bill Murray. Like,
yeah. Well, he does actually turn up at pubs and pour pints.
There you go.
Because he's desperate to prove that he's not a toxic man, but he is. Mm. Yeah, every time Roadhouse comes on television, he calls Dr. Elizabeth Clay's real-life husband.
That's amazing.
And describes what he's watching.
I love this so much. See, it's little things like this that make me still like Bill Murray. Even though he's an utter piece of shit, I just
know that at some point there's going to be something.
Oh, the whole wife beater stuff came out a while ago and everyone seems to have just ignored it. And I'm like,
right,
is that okay? Right. Is that where we're at?
Right.
Okay. Because I'm pretty sure people get cancelled on Twitter for dropping one word and then they're never allowed on the internet again. Bill
Depends
Murray,
on the word.
Maybe. Let's put this theory to test.
Careful when you make that debate. People just said one word and they got cancelled. I'm like, Ben, don't make that argument.
Dear listener, email us your best word to tweet out.
Oh, God.
Let's run a quick social experiment real quick, eh? But yeah, it's this whole thing of like reinvention, moving on, wanting to sort of switch up your life completely. We've both been in a situation where we're like,
we
cannot physically do this anymore because I am about to die.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I've gone wrong. I messed up.
Exactly.
Whatever behaviors and patterns have got me here need to be removed root and branch because this is unsustainable.
Exactly.
I can see James Dalton being there.
Yeah.
I can even go one further.
Okay.
He's called the Bodhisattva, right?
He is called the Bodhisattva.
He's taken from Buddhism.
It is.
Okay. Which preaches about the middle way, the middle path.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Dirty Dancing, when he was living as Johnny Castle, he was all about feelings, emotions.
Yeah.
He was all about doing what you want when you want, just there to party, bro.
Just
you know?
Breaking hearts.
Just breaking hearts. Breaking Who cares hearts. If I'm 25 and she's 17? But the heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah, she might be a little old for his taste at this point. We don't know.
Oh, grim.
It's never explained.
He throws that away, and then he goes to become James Dalton, who's all about rules.
Yeah.
Rules of engagement, rules of how you do your job.
Yeah.
He's That's almost it. Sort of fascistic, you know? Teutonic, it's all down the line. Yeah, this is how it's going to be.
It's all fish stick.
Imposing his will on people.
Yeah.
And then that goes wrong too. And then he discovers the middle way, the way in between. I'm going to do what I want, but I'm going to have a plan about how to get it.
Yeah, I like this.
A plan that works, I have to say.
It does.
All the way until the end of the film, because the entire way through this film, the ex-presidents, who, interestingly, die in the order that they were in office.
Yeah, Mint, let me cross this one out of my notes real quick. Say it one more time. Here's my reaction.
The ex-presidents all die.
Okay.
In the order that the mask they're wearing was appointed to office and then left the White House.
What?
Fascinating, isn't it?
That's
what a great
new information. Oh
isn't
my
it?
Days.
Oh my God.
Just cross that one out on my fucking notes.
New information for the second time.
You know what I mean?
What? I think he finds that middle path. He finds that
finds
plan.
The middle wave.
Do what you want. Live the life you need, but have a plan about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he has this plan that works, which is only ever hit the tills. Only ever go for the draws. Only ever go for the cash registers.
Never go for the vault.
Never go for the vault.
Never go for
until the
vault.
The end.
Yeah.
The last job of the summer.
Yeah.
Where he says hit the vault. And here's why I think why. Uh-huh. I think Baby leaves Johnny Castle.
Okay.
I think he needs to see her one more time. He's left Johnny
you
Castle
think
behind.
In the vault?
I don't think she's in the vault.
Okay.
But I think it might be. What do we know about Baby? Her family's rich.
Her family is rich and famously.
Have they got deeds?
Rich.
Have they got bearer bonds?
Ooh,
have they got
okay.
stuff that they keep in a safety deposit box that might be in a vault in LA?
This took a very serious turn. I thought this was going to be a silly. All right,
no.
I'm checked back in. All right.
Maybe this is, he's gone, he's dumped off Johnny Castle, he's tried to be James Dalton, he's had to dump this off. He's now being Bodie, and that's okay. gone wrong too. And he just goes, do you know what my last job's going to be? I'm going to go back to the last time I was truly happy. I'm going to get back in touch with Baby. And that's why he hits the
fired
vault.
From Kellerman's.
Yeah. That's my little offering of I tried.
Dude, that tracks. Dude, he got fired from Kellerman's for being wrongly accused of being a thief.
Right.
So full circle, he's like, well, I'm just going to become what they always said I was.
There we
be
go.
Be a thief. I'm going to steal the bearer bonds that make her family rich.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to come a running because obviously we all know about wealthy people. The only thing that keeps the kids around is the money. Parental bonds.
Exactly.
In the bin.
There we go.
Everyone's got a nanny.
In the bin.
You know what I mean?
It's just about the inheritance. There we go.
That's all it is, dude. This is it. Okay, so what, next week we just do Dirty Dancing again?
No, I think next week we do Donnie Darko, where he survives surfing and ends
Ooh.
Up teaching a self-improvement course in Donnie Darko's town.
Okay.
Trying to connect with women who are the age that Baby was in Dirty Dancing.
I like this. I don't like that, but I like this idea. I don't like that plotline. But
Yeah.
That's a great way to pitch Donnie Darko for next week, buddy. Speaking of pitching, brilliant transition, Ben. Thank you very much, Rob. Do you want to know how Point Break got dreamt up?
Well, if I remember back to last night when you told me, I imagine a man sat on a beach, saw some surfers, and went, I'm going to make a film about them.
That's oddly close. Oddly close.
Funny that.
It's mad that. It is mad that. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So here's the real story.
Am I psychic?
For the first time.
Right.
So Rick King, the co-producer and the co-writer of Point Break, came up with the idea of this film whilst taking a surf lesson.
Right. Okay. So
nearly there.
When you said almost, you meant exactly.
No. There's a key piece of this story that we're missing, Rob. So
right.
He was in Malibu. He was taking a surf lesson. And he thought, surfers who rob banks and an FBI agent that's a good athlete that goes undercover amongst the surfers. Now, that would all be fine. And it would be sort of like a nice little fleeting thought. If only he hadn't read that very morning that L.A. is the bank robbery capital of the world. And everything just clicked into place. You know what I mean? Everything just fell together. He went straight for the vault.
I would not greenlight this film. If you explained it to me,
no
like
one
that,
would.
I'd go, it's nonsense.
No one would. But also a man that shows up in beach shorts, a wet t-shirt and a surfboard and goes,
right,
I want millions of dollars for a film. I'd be like, sure. Sure, you are on a mission.
You
and
clearly
in my
run
mind,
from the beach. You believe in this.
This is what I mean.
You've got that passion. Yeah.
This is, in my mind, that's how Hollywood works. People are surfing and then they're like, oh, I've got an idea. And then they just walk into the nearest Hollywood factory building and go, here's the film. And then, you know, the executives are like, yeah, sound. Why not? So this film, that was the idea of the film. It got pitched. Yep. It got bought up. Got greenlit.
Yep.
Everyone was like, yeah, let's do it. Studios were on board. Executives on board. Let's go. The first director to show an interest in this.
Right.
Was our dear Ridley Scott.
What's such shocking news?
All shocking news.
Oh my God.
This was almost a Ridley Scott movie. And if he had directed this, it would have been a whole other movie and it would have been awful.
Do you know? Well, I'll tell you one thing is that if Ridley Scott directed this, it would be
ruined in 20 years.
Weirdly similar. Well, it would be weirdly similar to this episode in that the first one. mm-hmm. would have been brilliant.
Yeah.
And then sometime later, there would have been a redo that felt not.
Okay. Well, I'm enjoying it, and I feel like I'm getting there with it, but that's fine. I'm out here on my own. I'll surf this wave.
It's the one joke I have, Ben.
I'll surf this wave. You can Johnny Utah on the beach. All right? How about that?
And then I'll throw my badge away at the end.
Yeah, throw it away. I'm going to go catch this massive wave like an absolute Swayze legend.
Okay, besides bad Ridley Scott sequel jokes aside.
Thank you.
About bad Ridley Scott sequels.
Yeah. Totally true. Totally true.
Give him the cast list because it is insane.
So he was showing interest to direct this in 1986. And the idea for the main leading roles were Matthew Broderick as Johnny Utah and Charlie Sheen as Bodhi.
Matthew Broderick's one of those guys. Charlie Sheen, I can believe, because Charlie Sheen's by winning on Tiger Blood.
Yeah, but only that era could he be Bodhi. Before that, absolutely not. No way.
But Matthew Broderick, I even at the age of 50, I want him to play children. He's that non-man-like. He's like a sort of...
cure for paedophiles.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just... He's got gnome energy. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
I can imagine him with a big hat just being a little freak in a garden.
Elijah Wood is older than us, and I still see him as a 15-year-old kid, walking down Green Street. I'm a football hooligan! Yeah, you are, buddy. Yeah, good you for are. You. No one stabbed
I'm a grown
the kid.
Up. No, you're not. No, you never not. Will be. No. You never will
look
be.
Look at it this way. You could never pay taxes, and people would look at you and go, yeah, that seems right. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's a blessing and a curse.
Right, just getting ID'd everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Can I buy some bubblegum? How old are you? Literally eat my whole asshole unsourced. I am Frodo. All right. Okay, Frodo, buddy. Okay.
I'll ring that up for you.
You know what I mean? And then the working title for this Ridley Scott gobshite of a movie was going to be Riders of the Storm.
Ooh, that would have fundamentally changed my experience playing Need for Speed.
It's bad, isn't it? That was so dumb, but I knew exactly what you were about straight away.
Riders on the Storm.
Incredible game. That was like the best
bit. Doing the Snoop Dogg thing over some doors.
Going down the mountain on like the windy road with that plane when it was raining. God, to be 15 again.
Oh,
producers
so
were also considering Johnny Depp, Val Kilmer, and even Patrick Swayze for the role of Johnny Utah. Right.
You'd be surprised to hear this, Ben, because this is the first time you've heard this 48-hour period.
Yeah.
But I think Val Kilmer and Patrick Swayze are similar enough that Val Kilmer
interchangeable
could nail the Bodhi role.
And Val Kilmer's not as fit.
He's not.
Or warm.
He's not. But I also think you could have switched Nick Nolte in for Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah. You could 100% do that.
And there would be zero change to that character.
I'm not going to lie to you. I can't picture Nick Nolte's face. Whenever you say his name, I picture Gary Busey.
Right. I think if they both walked into the bathroom in the same time and walked out, no one would know whose career was whose.
Oh my God, it's that
they
classic
could go
thing,
home in each other's cars and no one would know.
Dude, it's that thing, isn't it? No, he's the bad one, shoot him. And he's like, no, he's the imposter, shoot
him. Exactly. Right.
But now it's like...
I can't picture those two men as separate entities. I've never seen them in the same room.
Yeah, oh my God. That was a first. See, re-record was a good idea. Probably. I'm going to Google that straight after this. It's going in the Discord. If you're not part of our Discord, go join it because we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Right.
At some point.
Wouldn't it be incredible if Gary Busey's greatest role was Nick Nolte?
Yeah, that would be incredible. He's been method acting this entire time.
Because Nick Nolte's career has taken a swan dive since that motorbike accident Gary Busey had.
It's so true.
Just a quick weird aside, Ben.
Yeah.
We didn't really get to the bottom of this when we spoke the other night.
Go on.
But we've got a tentative award that we like to give out to certain movies. We've given one to Dunkirk. Well, it's been in contention. Shape of Water is another.
Yep.
And it's the wettest movie of all time.
Wettest movie. Shape of Water, man.
Sally Hawkins.
Can never watch Paddington ever again.
Or, maybe you can.
Don't get me wrong, but I just can't watch
If you've wanked yourself off in a bath to climax at the beginning,
maybe don't then star in a film with a bear riding down the stairs in a bath.
A really wholesome family entertainment movie about a stuffed bear, and there's a whole bath scene. It's a lot. You know what I mean?
It's
a lot.
Fair. But I'm going to make the case, and I would love listeners' feedback on this, possibly on our social media reels that we post. Is this the wettest film of all time? Because it's almost entirely set in the ocean.
It is.
It's about a homoerotic idolization of one man towards another.
It is. It is.
It's an action film about feelings.
Ooh, it is. That's very wet.
And how dry can you stay with Keanu and Swayze on screen?
None. It's impossible.
Right.
I'm sopped just talking about it. You know what I mean?
I genuinely feel this might be the wettest film of all time. I'll take criticism.
Okay. No. I'll agree with you. This might be it. Let us know. Drop us an email. Let us know if this is the wettest film that exists.
The only thing that isn't is the skydiving scenes. The skydiving scenes obviously subtract from the wet column.
They land in water on the second skydive. They are literally, it's fair. The whole thing. Fair. It's still wet. You know what I mean?
But skydiving's the least wet activity until that moment.
Yeah, until the landing.
Right. Yeah.
Fair. You know what I mean? That's just the climax. That's it all tracks, man. This is like the most homoerotic film since Top Gun. It's amazing. But yeah, so Ridley Scott dropped out.
Thank God.
Dropped out completely. He's gone. So we don't have to worry about a terrible sequel coming in, you know, or a reboot in 2015. Exactly. It just doesn't, we don't need to think about it because it doesn't happen. It's fine. You know what I mean?
We got one. But it's fine. We still don't have to think about it.
We just don't have to think about it because we know it's not coming. It's fine. Don't worry about it, man. So he left the project. It was sort of dangling around, floating around Hollywood for a few years, and then Kathryn Bigelow saved it.
Yeah.
Now, she had to fight the producers to get Keanu Reeves cast as Johnny Utah. Mm-hmm. And I've got an excerpt here from James Cameron back in 2002 when he was interviewed by someone. I haven't source checked myself. Soz. Anyway, Cameron says, Bigelow went to the mat for Keanu Reeves. We had this meeting where the Fox executives were going, Keanu Reeves in an action film? Based on what? Bill and Ted.
This was his first action film. I do.
Yeah, dude, same. But I mean...
And also, I have to point out that James Cameron was married to Kathryn Bigelow at the time.
He was.
And for him to refer to her by just her surname is bold.
Yeah. No ill feelings.
Bigelow, put the kettle on.
Morning, Bigelow. What's on the menu for today?
Right, hey. Exactly.
Oh, all right. See you in a bit.
I can understand the reluctance, though. Like, Bill and Ted is not where I look for my action stars.
I know, but I think people need to branch out with their action stars a little bit more. I've got a point on this in a minute, actually. I've got a point. So...
Right, okay.
Cameron continues. The Fox executives were being so insulting, but she insisted he could be an action star. This was long before Speed or The Matrix. I didn't see it either, frankly, but I supported her in the meeting. The second we walked out, I was going... Based on what? But she worked on his wardrobe. She showed him how to walk. She made him work out. She was his Olympic coach.
Right.
And he should send her a bottle of champagne every year just to say thank you.
If anyone would, I think Keanu Reeves would. 100% I think he would.
Dude, he's an absolute sweetheart. And he kills it in this film because what he does is he takes authoritative figures that we've seen in action movies before, right? So obviously like Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson, you've got Die Hard with Bruce Willis, you've got these very macho sort of like, whoa, kind of guys.
Yes.
And Keanu Reeves puts like a vulnerable spin on it.
Vulnerable
Jesus Christ.
Spill.
I think
Good
I'm
Lord.
Having a stroke, man. Jesus Christ. but it sort of gives us this more relatable, more down-to-earth, and a more... accepting human version of our action hero.
Yeah.
Which is an insane thing to be able to do from Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
1,000%.
But we've got Swayze too. So it's not just Keanu that's putting these spins on like stereotypes and all this stuff. You've got Swayze who takes the stereotypical action movie hunk like Schwarzenegger and Stallone. We've seen them before. He puts this really complex, subtle layer of humanity over the lens. He's got this, it's a weird approachable thing. When I look at Arnie in Predator. I'm like, if I saw him in the street, I'd steer clear.
Right, you know what I mean? Yeah,
if you see Stallone in Rocky,
you'd cross the road.
And you see him running up and down the steps, and everyone's like, yeah, I would, like, fuck, would I be doing that? I'd be like, that guy's insane. That guy's mental. There is no way I'm just standing and cheering next to him.
I feel like it was the late 80s thing, though, because I feel like the early 80s was defined by those two.
Yeah, that style.
You had your Dolph Lundgrens, you had your cast of the Expendables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who were your action stars.
Yeah.
And I think that had started to age and sour a little bit.
100%.
And people were beginning to kind of look for undercuts of that. Because Die Hard's another great example. In 1988, you get an action hero who's incredibly capable, but is swearing about what they're having to go through the entire time. And being that kind of, not vulnerable in the sense of them having a weakness, but just not being ready to have to deal with this.
Ill-equipped.
Ill-equipped. I've got no shoes.
Yeah, I'm
terrified. I really don't want to have to do this.
Yeah.
Which was incredibly fresh. And the whole arc of Die Hard from, I hate my wife and I resent being here, to crying in his wife's arms, being like, I'm so happy to see you. I was such an asshole and I'm back. And like, I've actually been through some stuff now. I get it.
Yeah.
Swayze's another example of that. And this whole film is an example of that, where the central sort of problem of the film is, how do I bring to justice this man who I have fallen in sort of idolatrous love with? It's not that I love him romantically. It's that I want to be him.
Yeah. I think they're two sides of the same coin. I think
they're 1,000%.
They both see each other. This is a weird one, man. So I've got a whole thing on this. You know, they call Bodhi the Bodhisattva, the modern savage, the real searcher, right?
Yeah.
So Bodhisattva means someone who's able to reach nirvana, someone who's reached enlightenment.
And is able to guide others towards it, yeah.
Yeah, they delay entering nirvana or like complete enlightenment to help others through their suffering so that they can reach enlightenment, right? And he fucking kills it. He kills it.
Yeah,
he truly is totally a modern savage. So even after finding out that your new best mate is an FBI agent actively trying to hunt you down to ruin your life, to take away the big waves and the endless summer, he's there to end it all. You've just found this out about him. He doesn't plot to kill him. He doesn't plot to take him out the picture.
No.
Do you know what he does do?
Kidnap a woman.
Takes him on a lovely skydiving trip and tries to show him the ways of the ex-president.
While kidnapping a woman.
He knows Johnny Utah. We're not looking at this. I mean, we can see it. Come on. Come on. He didn't do it. Okay, he orchestrated it, but hear me out.
He Charles Manson'd it.
He did Charles Manson it. His theory's growing, buddy. This whole episode is like, the theory's changed. This whole thing, I think he orchestrated it because he knew 1,000,000% that both him and Johnny Utah would never let a hair on a head get injured. Like, it just wouldn't happen. There was no doubt in his mind.
He knew that. She didn't.
But is that really going to give her the life lesson that she needed? You know what I mean? How is she doing now? That's the question that
he's mansplaining survival instinct to her.
You see what I mean?
Woman.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. He is Russell Brand.
He's doing not talking. He might be Russell Brand.
We are rapidly running out of time, so I want to ask you what your rating point break.
We're gonna do. I'm gonna do it a 10, man. Fat 10.
Fat
obviously. 10.
It's gotta be
incredible.
Fat 10.
It's incredible.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. It is stupid. It's not a good film.
Oh, it's so dumb.
But it knows what it is, and it's everything it needs to be.
Yeah.
And it just, you can't, every line that falls flat, it just causes a big old smile across your face.
Of course.
And you go, that's the early 90s.
Do you know
that's
why,
what
though?
It's about.
It's because Bigelow looked at this, or looked at action films and went, yeah, but boring. And then went and did a mint one. It's full of shit dialogue, cheesy one-liners.
Yeah.
But none of it matters because the action is so good.
1,000%.
Dude, she made a foot chase as exciting as a high-speed car chase. And it's like,
100%.
How do I care this much?
So next week, we've got a new film.
We do.
And you said it was going to be...
What did I say it was
going to be? Donnie Darko.
Oh, yeah, Donnie Darko.
Which is a great, fantastical, funny sort of mystery film. But I think we should go for a great, fantastical, sort of funny mystery film.
Okay.
Because Patreon users who do get input in what movies we cover, go join, it's only a quid, have been asking for The Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
And
okay.
We were going to do it as a Patreon exclusive, but...
Yeah.
We've always been talking about doing it on the main show. So I say we just do it on the main show.
It has to be. Are we doing that next week then, yeah?
Let's do next week. Let's do Princess Bride next week.
I'm going to have to read an entire book by next week. You know this, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then we'll do League of Their Own, which was the second most popular choice.
We'll do that for the Patreon only.
And then, yeah, and then no one's happy, and that's the nature of a good compromise.
Yeah, that's good. That, and I've watched League of Their Own recently, so, you know what
I
mean?
Okay, nice. Perfect, yeah, yeah. perfect. That's all the time we have, unfortunately, guys.
We do. We're going to have to wrap it up. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. We love and adore you more than you will ever know. I know we said this on the other episode as well, but 100,000 downloads, you guys are insane. It really does. Even on the second re-record of our perfect episode, it arguably means more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's keeping us going.
There you go. So we love you. We really do. Thank you so much.
Just before we wrap the show up, if you enjoyed this episode and want to support the show, you can leave us a review and tell a friend about us. It helps more than you know. And if you want more show, more content, and an extra episode a month, you can support us over on Patreon for as little as £1 a month.
£1 a month, guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Take care. Yeah, love you. Bye. That's not how we end it. Where's the consume? Do you do the consume?
Yeah, I do. Ready?
Do you want to do the consume? All right, this was going to be a life lesson from Point Break, but I've come up with a new theory. Sally Hawkins in Shape of Water wanks in a bathtub, right? What about, and she's, is she deaf or mute? Just nod up and down for deaf? Shake your head side to side for mute. Yeah, perfect. That's diagonal. That means nothing. Mute. Okay, so she's mute. What about if she undergoes experimental treatment, gets cured, finds a husband, moves to London, has kids. You see where I'm going with this? Paddington is the unofficial sequel to Shape of Water. There you go. Join us for next Ben's theory trilogy.
Not happening. Yes, bye. Buddy. Stopping now. No.